Chapter 7. A Strange Man. Holly and I did not talk for a while. When I saw her on the stairs, I turned my head. When I saw her in Joe Bell's bar, I walked out. Madame Sophia Spinella, who lived on the first floor, was also angry at Holly. She did not like the late-night parties and all the men in Holly's apartment. She wanted Holly to leave the brownstone. As April changed to May, the nights became warmer, and Holly's apartment became louder. It was never surprising to see men outside of Holly's apartment, but late that spring, I saw a strange man looking at her mailbox. He looked about 50 years old and had tired eyes. He was wearing an old and dirty gray hat and a cheap blue summer suit. He never rang the doorbell, but kept moving his fingers across her name. That evening, on my way to dinner, I saw the man again. He was standing across the street next to a tree and staring at Holly's window. I began to worry. Was he a police officer? Or someone in the mafia, like her friend Sally Tomato? I suddenly felt my feelings for Holly come back, so I decided to tell Holly about the man after dinner. As I walked to the corner, I could feel the man watching me. Without turning my head, I knew that he was walking behind me, because I could hear him singing. It was the same song that Holly sometimes played on her guitar. "Excuse me," I said, turning round. "What do you want?" The question did not seem to embarrass him, and he seemed happy to answer it.
"I need a friend," he said.
He pulled out a photograph. It was a picture of seven people in front of a house that was made of wood. Six of them were children, and the other person was him.
"That's me,"
he said, pointing at himself.
"That's her,"
he said, pointing to one of the children.
"And this one is her brother, Fred."
I looked at her again, and yes, that small, fat child was Holly. At that same moment, I suddenly realized who the man was. "You're Holly's father." The man seemed confused.
"Her name's not Holly," he said. "She's called Lula Mae Barnes. Well, she was until she married me. I am her husband, Doc Golightly. I'm a horse doctor and a farmer. I live in Texas."
The man paused.
"Why are you smiling?"
"I'm not," I said. "I'm just surprised."
"This is not funny. I've spent 4 years looking for her. As soon as I got a letter from Fred that told me where she was, I bought a ticket to come here. Lula Mae belongs at home with her husband and her children."
"Her children?" I said, again surprised.
"Yes,"
he said, pointing to the photograph.
"They are her children."
But Holly can't be the mother of those children. They look older and bigger than she is, I said, looking at the photograph.
Okay, they are not her children, but they need her. Their real mother died in 1936. I married Lula May after that, but then she ran away.
He waited for me to say something, but I did not have anything to say.
Do you believe me?
He said finally. I did believe him. O.J. Berman also said the same thing at Holly's party. Nobody knows where she comes from.
She broke our hearts when she ran away,
the horse doctor repeated.
I don't know why she ran away. All the housework was done by her daughters. Lula May had nothing to do. She just ate and got fat while her brother grew and grew. She and Fred weren't always like that. It was my oldest daughter, Nellie, who first found them. Papa, there are two children in the kitchen. I caught them stealing milk and eggs, she said. That was Lula May and Fred. They were so thin and small. Their parents were dead, and they had to live with some horrible people. I can understand why she ran away from them, but I don't know why she left my house. It was her home.
He closed his eyes and put his hands on his chest.
She was so intelligent. I showed her how to play the guitar. I cried when I asked her to marry me.
She was 14 years old, and she said, "Why are you crying, Doc? Of course I will marry you. I've never been married before." Then he laughed and opened his eyes.
Don't tell me that woman wasn't happy. We all loved her. All she did was eat, brush her hair, and look at pictures in the newspapers. She had so many newspapers.
But what about her brother? Did he leave with her? I said.
No, Doc said. Fred stayed with us until he left to become a soldier. He's a good boy. He's very good with horses. He didn't understand why Lula May left him or her husband and children. She started writing to him a while ago. Then he gave me her address.
I turned back round and looked at the brownstone.
Listen, he said. I need a friend. I don't want her to be frightened. But please, can you be my friend and tell her that I am here?
You might be surprised that Holly or Lula May has changed, I replied. He did not answer. The idea of introducing Holly to her husband was funny to me. I looked up at her window and hoped that Mag, Rusty, and Jose were there to watch it happen. We walked into the brownstone, and Doc stayed at the bottom of the stairs. He put his jacket on.
Do I look nice? He said.
I walked upstairs toward Holly's apartment and knocked on the door. When she opened the door, I could see that she was alone. She was wearing her dark glasses and was on her way out. Well, she said, hitting me with her bag. I need to leave, so I can't talk about our argument now. We can talk tomorrow, okay?
Sure, Lula May. If you're still around tomorrow, I said.
She took off her glasses. He told you that? She said, her voice shaking.
Fred, where are you?
She immediately ran out of her apartment, shouting Fred's name. Then she suddenly stopped when she saw Doc standing at the bottom of the stairs.
Wow, Lula May, he said. You're so thin, just like when I first saw you.
Holly did not move. She did not look scared, but more disappointed.
Hello, Doc,
she said, after a couple of seconds. She then walked toward him and touched his face.
Hello, Doc,
she repeated. The disappointment was not there anymore. Doc picked her up and they started to laugh.
Wow, Lula May, I can't believe it,
he shouted, holding her in his arms. I decided to leave them alone and go up to my apartment. They did not notice me leave, nor did they notice Madame Sophia Spinella shouting,
Be quiet! Take your men somewhere else!
The next day, around noon, Holly and I met in Joe Bell's bar.
Two more, please, Mr. Bell,
she said. Joe Bell did not look happy. This was our third drink, and he wanted us to stop.
But it's Sunday, Mr. Bell. The clocks are slow on Sunday, and I haven't been to bed yet,
Holly said.
Not to sleep, anyway.
Holly suddenly looked away, embarrassed, something she never did.
Well, I had to. Doc really loves me, you know? And I love him. He might be old and tired, but you don't know how sweet he is. He has really helped me, and I owe him a lot. Please don't laugh, she said.
I'm not laughing. I'm smiling. You're the most amazing person.
Yes, I am, she said.
So, what else did you do last night? I asked.
We spent the rest of the night at the bus station. He wanted me to come home with him, but I kept telling him that I wasn't Lula May anymore. But the worst part, and I realized it when I was standing there, was that I am Lula May. I'm still stealing eggs and running away. Only now I call it having the mean reds.
You should get a divorce, I said.
Get a divorce, she said. I was only 14. It wasn't real.
Joe Bell came back with our drinks.
Never love a wild thing, Mr. Bell, Holly said. That was Doc's mistake. He was always saving things. Sometimes it was a bird with a hurt wing, or an animal with a broken leg. But you can't give your heart to a wild thing, because the more you do, the stronger they get. Then they are strong enough to run away or fly into the sky. That is what happens when you love a wild thing, Mr. Bell.
No more drinks for you, Joe Bell said.
Doc knew what I meant, Holly continued. I explained it to him very carefully, and it was something that he could understand. We said goodbye and hugged, and he said he hoped that I was happy.
What is she talking about? Joe Bell asked me.
Holly picked up her drink.
I hope that Doc is happy too, she said.
She touched her glass against mine.
To Doc, she said.